If you go back to CarrotCast episode 66, it was called My Struggles and 8 Success Lessons Learned. I talk about a book that I read that really changed my life during the early years. It's called The Go-Giver. And The Go-Giver was a parable. It's a book that really got my mind wrapped around how to actually go out there and live life the opposite way that most people do. And if you guys have not got the book, The Go-Giver, go get it. Go to Amazon and go get it. Or you can wait on this call and actually listen to the author of The Go-Giver, Bob Berg. I had such an amazing chance to interview him today. One of my favorite books of all time. It's one of the simplest books ever, but I've given away hundreds of copies of this book over the years to people because it's such a simple concept, but it's so life-changing when you actually adopt it in your day-to-day. We've adopted it fully here at Carrot as a business. We've always led with giving. We've always led with value. We've always really led with how do we make sure our clients in our market and in our audience are the ones winning. And when that happens, we'll build trust. We'll build just so much value that we'll in the end win also. Okay, so I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this episode of the Carrot Cast with Go-Giver author Bob Berg, and he's going to be talking about their latest book, which is The Go-Giver Influencer. It's another parable, but talks about how in this cluttered market, how in this cluttered world, with all of these messages, with all of these opinions, with all of these people who disagree on this and disagree on that, how can you be an influencer in a good way? And he gives such amazing tips in this call. Listen in. I'm going to be giving you a chance to win one of 10 free copies of this book. Listen to the episode, learn how you can do it. But basically, spoiler alert, be one of the first 10 when this podcast episode publishes in iTunes to go to iTunes and give a rating and review about this episode. Okay, we're going to look at the date that it is and give a rating and review about this episode or about the Carrot Cast. Be honest. If it's a 1, let us know. If it's a 5, let us know. And then when we do, send an email to me at trevor@oncarrot.com. And my assistant Jen will see it. You got to take a screenshot of your review the day that you put it on there. It's got to be after I publish this. The first 10, we're going to mail out Bob Berg's latest book, The Go-Giver Influencer. All right. Without further ado, welcome on Bob Berg. Hey, guys and gals. Trevor here with Carrot on the Carrot Cast. And I'm really, really pumped about today's guest today. This is a guest that I've been reading his book for years, read it years and years ago when it first came out. But also, this is the book that I've given the most amount of copies with. I send out hundreds of books a year to people to really help them in the parts of their lives. And The Go-Giver is the book that I've sent more than any other book ever. And we've got one of the authors of The Go-Giver on today, Bob Berg, and I'm going to introduce him here in a second. But this book I've sent out to several hundred people and just seen the impact that it's had in my life, making that mindset shift, which we're going to talk about here in a bit. But also what I'm really excited about is they didn't just stop with this book. They took the concept and they've taken it to other parts of your life or your business. They're coming out with a new book called The Go-Giver Influencer, and we're going to talk about that. So I want to welcome on to the Carrot Cast, Mr. Bob Berg.
Hey, thank you, Trevor. Great to be with you.
Man, and like I said, I appreciate you taking the time, and this is going to be a short episode of the Carrot Cast, so we're going to get to the point. But the first thing I want to toss out to you, then I want to go over to the Go-Giver Influencer and talk about that a little bit, is for people that aren't familiar with the Go-Giver book, and is, you know, encapsulate what the essence of it is, and why do you think it's taken off so much over the years?
Yeah. Well, it's a parable, so it's a short story, co-authored with John David Mann, who's a fantastic storyteller, really the lead writer of the story. And the basic premise is simply this. It's that shifting your focus, and this is really the key, shifting your focus from getting to giving. And when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing value to others. Mm-hmm. And that doing so is not only a pleasant way to conduct business, it's the most financially profitable way as well.
Go ahead. Oh, sorry. And I was to say one thing about it too, to kind of add a little clarification for people is when it started to work for me, it was giving without expecting anything in return. Like when I was giving, thinking, well, I'm doing it so I get something back. It didn't work. It didn't feel as good. It was always for me giving without expecting anything in return. And magically things started to work.
Well, and yet I don't think it's magic. And here's why. No, because what happens is that, and we've certainly said this plenty of times, and we say it within the book, that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. Well, there's no more powerful, there's no faster, there's no more effective way to elicit those types of feelings toward you from others than when you can genuinely and authentically move from an I focus or me focus to an other focus, looking for ways to, as one of the mentors in the story told Joe the protege, make your win about the other person's win. One of the things I often will say when I speak at a sales conference, I'll start out by saying, you know, nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet. They're not going to buy from you because you need the money, and they're not even going to buy from you because you're a really nice person who believes in what you do. They're going to buy from you only because they believe they will be better off by doing so than by not doing so. And that's the only reason why anyone should do business with you. So what that does is it makes it so that we, the entrepreneur, need to know that our focus has to be on placing their interest first. And this is why we say that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder to value's lightning. We have to be in a free market-based economy, which we basically are. And when I say free market, I simply mean no one is forced to do business with anyone else. And so they're doing it only, again, on their own volition. So we've got to know that to the degree that we can please that other person, bring value to them, that's the degree they're going to do business with us. So it, to me, it's very logical that this works. It's just something that it's not necessarily intuitive.
Exactly. So what was it before we dive into your guys' latest book and how you've taken that concept into a different part? What was it, Bob? Like, I've always been curious, what was it in your life and what was it in John's life maybe that spurred you guys to write the book originally? Because there had to be some occurrence in your life that went, hey, this is how I operated life before I started operating it this way. I need to tell people about it.
Well, we've both been entrepreneurs in our in our past, okay? And so and also when John morphed from being an entrepreneur building a business to writing, well, he got to meet and cover all these very successful people and got to, you know, and he studied success and he learned what, well, from the time I became a salesperson and then an entrepreneur, I was studying success. And I think it's fairly easy to see that there are certain things that work most of the time and certain things that don't work most of the time. And I think all we really did, because there's really nothing original about the laws and the go-giver. These are our laws that successful people have utilized, sometimes intuitively, other times they've learned since there have been market economies. So I don't think there's anything necessarily there that's well, I know there's nothing that's new. But I think that's really what it's about. And so we wrote it only because we wanted to be able to kind of share those things we learned. We both love success. And we both had plenty of failures in our lives, which is part of success. So the turning point for me and you, and I think that's such a wonderful question. I remember a couple of years after I got into sales and I was learning and I was studying and I was doing pretty well. But like Joe in the story, there was a lot of untapped potential there. And it's really because like Joe, my focus was more on me than it was on where it needed to be. And I remember coming back to the office one day. I was selling a high ticket item for a company. And one of the kind of older people there, and I say older people, probably my age now, right? But back then he was this old, old guy, you know, 35 years ago, whatever. And he said to me, he said, Berg, can I give you some advice? And I said, yeah, please. And he said, if you want to make a lot of money in business, actually he said, if you want to make a lot of money in sales, he said, don't have making money as your target. Your target is serving others. Now, when you hit the target, he continued, you'll get a reward. That reward will come in the form of money. And you can do with that money whatever you choose. But never forget, the money is simply the reward for hitting the target. It's not the target itself. The target is serving others. And that's really where that's what made the big difference for me.
So there's a couple of really cool things there. So number one, a mentor triggered that thought in you. and you took it and ran with it, a mentor in the form of a coworker, a boss.
Yeah.
And that's something I want to toss out to people on here is we've had calls about mentors and mentorship and making sure that you are mentoring someone, you are being mentored by someone. And this is just another connection there that it's so important, everybody, that you go find people to mentor and people to be mentored by. But also another thing that popped out there big time is I just want to connect it to a little bit to our story for those of us who, or for everyone who is on the CarrotCast familiar with Carrot's journey. Before Carrot in my previous company, we had great products. You know, we were making good money. We were proud of the products we had, but at the end of the day, we were doing it to advance the business revenue wise. Like we would look at the goals at the start of that year and set our goals to revenue numbers. We would go chase that. And it was really, man, it wasn't fulfilling. I wasn't passionate about it. And eventually I got really burnt out. And this is around the period of 2011, 2012. After I'd already read the book, I reread it again at that time. I said, all right, I'm going to shift my business model to be really not focused on revenue at all. And just like you said, it's going to be, I've made 5 non-negotiables. If you guys listen to this podcast, go back to that episode of the CarrotCast where I talk about my 5 non-negotiables. And then we went and built this business. And the funny thing is this business has grown faster than anything else I've done. It's more profitable than anything else I've done. Mm-hmm. But it's because of what you mentioned, Bob. It's because we were going after serving the market. We were going after leading with core values in this market to elevate the way that people thought about business and how they could actually leverage business to make differences in the world. And now we're looking back going, man, I never would have imagined we would have grown a business that would be this financially successful mm-hmm. when we didn't focus on finances at the start.
Yeah, and that's important to say because remember, the fifth law is the law of receptivity. Mm. We are not against money. Yep. We enjoy making money. We believe, though, that money is the result of the value you provide. But we're free market capitalists. We believe that you provide exceptional value to the marketplace. And as a result, you're rewarded financially for that. But the money is the echo of value. The value must be the focus. The money is the result.
I love the way you put it, too, that the money is the echo of value. So everyone lock that in, write it in something.
That's a John David Mannism. He comes up with those all the time. I don't know how he does
it. I love it, man. So let's transition into the Go Giver Influencer. So your latest book, what's that about and how is that kind of carrying forward this concept?
Yeah, well, you know, influence has played a part in all the Go-Giver stories. You know, mm-hmm. there's the law of influence, the third law in the Go-Giver. Yeah. The Go-Giver leader, the other parable is a little story about, you know, the power of leadership and influence. But now mm-hmm. we said, let's take the concept of influence and really kind of bring it forth and explore it. Because mm-hmm. right now we kind of believe the world is, at least, you know, in our country right now, there's so much vitriol and poisonous communication, if you even want to call it communication, where people seem to be on two different sides. And if you don't agree with me, you're not only wrong, but you're a villain with horrible intent. And what people are doing is they're insulting people and they're, you know, what they're not doing is they're not influencing. They're not persuading. And so there's just a better way to do it. And we wanted to kind of share some of the thoughts we had about it based on our experiences. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, influence itself on a very, very basic level is simply the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually within the context of a specific goal. Now, that's the definition. I don't think it's the substance or the essence of influence.
Okay.
I think the essence of influence, Trevor, is pull. Hmm. Pull as opposed to push. Mm-hmm. We've all heard the question, how far can you push a rope?
Yep.
And we know the answer is not far, at least not very fast or very effectively. Mm-hmm. You never hear people say, wow, that Susan or that David, he is so influential. He has a lot of push with people, right? He sure is pushing. You know, we just like, no, he has a lot of pull. Mm-hmm. That's what influence is. It's an attraction. Mm-hmm. Great influencers attract people first to themselves and only then to their ideas. And they do this, again, not through pushing themselves, pushing their ideas, pushing their will on others, being pushy, but through its opposite, through pull. And they do this, they express this pull in terms of understanding that, and Dale Carnegie said this wonderfully in his classic How to Win Friends and Influence People, where he wrote, ultimately, people do things for their reasons, not our reasons. So the great influencer asks themselves questions to kind of check their own premises, check their own intent, right? It's, and their questions are in the form of, how does what I'm asking this person to do, how does it align with their goals? How does it align with their wants, their needs, their desires? How does what I'm asking this other, how does what I want this other person to do, how does it align with their values? What problems is it solving for them? Why is it something in their life that they need? And when we ask ourselves these questions thoughtfully, intelligently, genuinely, authentically, not as a way to manipulate another person into doing our will, but as a way of building everyone in the process and really advancing the world. Now we've come a lot closer to earning that person's commitment as opposed to depending on some type of compliance, which at best isn't sustainable, at worst just doesn't work.
So what are some good ways that you know that you're seeing around you? It could be people that you know in business, people that people recognize, celebrities, leaders. Are there people that you recognize that are doing it well and people that are not doing it well?
Well, I'm talking to one right now who's doing it very well. Okay, so and here's my point. It doesn't necessarily have to be a celebrity or like an example of a person. Go down Main Street, okay? Talk to the printer or talk to the software salesperson or talk to the person who invents something because they see a need in the marketplace. And take a look at a company, a huge company, small company, in between. And look at the ones that are sustainably profitable. Sustainably, okay? Look at the ones where the leadership values their employees. They don't just say people are our greatest asset, but they live that. Okay. And where the customers are made to feel great about themselves. And it doesn't mean the customer is always right, because the customer isn't always right, but they're the customer and they should be, situations should be handled with tact and with empathy and with understanding. And that's not soft stuff. This is hard stuff, because this is the stuff that makes the business work, and it is that combination of giving and receiving that makes it all happen.
And so many people, man, it's like so many people, when you see them struggle as entrepreneurs, as an example, oftentimes they're looking at the tactical. They're looking at what tactics can I use? And when you start to talk about influence in the way that, that you're talking about on really drawing people towards you, there's not really like – I'm sure there's tactics in there, but you're doing it for the long term. And way too many people, I find, are short-term tactical and not looking long-term, growing that momentum.
You hit it right on the head. I look at it this way, that there are value strategies and tactics. And they start high, go low. Tactics are fine, but within a certain strategy, but always guided by principles and values. This is where character comes into play anyway, because when you think about it, what you have to give, what you have to offer, you do least of all through what you say, though that's very important. We need to be able to speak to people. They're more important is what you do. Most important is who you are. That's where character comes into play. And notice the people who have these sustainably very successful businesses, or have been proven leaders. Wherever they go, they seem to bring everybody up. These are the people who, hey, they may be flexible when it comes to strategy, but when it comes to those values-based decisions, the principles, they are immutable, immovable, and unchangeable. You know what they're going to do. A tactic might be different if you're doing something on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or somewhere else. There's different tactics for different things. It should go within a general strategy, but again, all based on certain immutable principles and values that will not change.
So Bob, what are some things that we have a lot of entrepreneurs, of course, listening to this podcast. What are some things that an entrepreneur, whether they're in real estate or anything else, can do right now? And I want to focus on not the tactics probably, but at that core level, that foundational level, to be a better influencer. What can people do right now?
Well, I'd say the first thing, and this is, we talk about this being secret one, though it's not a secret. and that is, master your emotions.
Okay.
This is where it all begins. because we all understand that as human beings, we're emotional creatures, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we'd like to think we're logical, and to a certain extent we are, but we're pretty emotionally driven. Mm-hmm. We make major decisions based on emotions, and we back up those emotion-based decisions with logic. We rationalize. And if you break up the word rationalize, it simply means we tell ourselves rational lies. Okay. And we do this to justify that we blew our cool, we lost our temper, there was somebody who had an objection, and rather than really listening and understanding and empathizing, we were defensive and we shot back, or, you know, what have you. Yeah. We need to master our emotions. Now, that doesn't mean you forego your emotions or try to deny your emotions. That wouldn't be logical, actually, because we're remote, right? But what we do is we control them. We make sure we're the master of our emotions as opposed to they being the master of us.
Gotcha.
Or as one of my great friends, great leadership teacher and speaker practitioner, Dondi Scumaci, puts it, by all means, take your emotions along for the ride, but make sure you are driving the car.
I like that.
That's so very important.
Man, so that right there, it's I've got a quick thought there. It's like, so when people are starting a business or running a business, it is really easy. Even 2 days ago, you know, as I was kind of getting in crunch time on a big project, I didn't let my emotions get away from me, but it's really easy to look at within me going, oh my gosh, what do I have to do? What is it that, you know, what is it that I've got to outthink this thing? But the second I shifted my mindset over to, once again, the go-giver side of it, it answered the question for me. And then my emotions tamping down. I'm like, the answer is really simple. It's like, here's the idea. Here's the simple answer to care for that client. It's an obvious answer now,
right?
Which goes back to the core values and things like that. Is there anything else that pops up that you recognize that people aren't doing very often in this day and age that they could do to better influence in good ways?
Well, again, you know, secret number two is to step into the other person's shoes, which sounds really easy. But here's the thing. When you think about it, most of us have different size feet. So we can't step into their shoes. We come from different belief systems, different ways of seeing the world. And most conflict, Trevor, is simply the result of two or more people seeing the same thing from different viewpoints and understanding them differently. Okay. So what we need to do is, now it goes back to, again, asking questions, asking questions and listening, but not just listening, as one of the mentors in the story, because there were two mentors, two proteges, as one of the mentors, George, tells Jillian, listen, not just with your ears, listen with your entire posture, listen with the back of your neck. And what he meant, what he was saying was, to put your whole being into it. You're listening not just to have an answer that you can come back with. It's listening to truly understand to the best of your ability what's going on inside this person. What's this person concerned about? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? What would they let? And to the degree we can do this now, not only do we know more and does it equip us, but it also allows that person to know they're being listened to. And again, it goes back to that trust. And we communicate ourselves as being much more trustworthy when we're actually listening and caring about what the other person's saying.
And it's so common right now, Bob. I'll sometimes catch myself in it too, where you're talking with someone and you're almost thinking one to two steps ahead of, hey, what am I going to answer next? And you're not truly internalizing it, listening to them and understanding it. And for myself, when I catch myself doing that, I come back and I go, okay, don't think two, three steps ahead. Just think about what's coming out of their words, or out of their mouth right now. And like you said, truly listen. And at that moment, I find myself, my body posture and the feeling changes. And I'm sure they pick it up too. I'm sure they do, which, like you said, builds massive, massive trust right there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very natural to have difficulty listening because we are thinking two steps ahead. It's natural to do that, right? We're human beings.
Yeah.
So that's why the person who's most influential is the person who, again, doesn't deny their emotions, doesn't deny the need to listen in order to speak or the inclination to. They just know it's there. They accept that it's there and they work on it. And they set it to the side temporarily.
Yep.
You know, yeah. And that's the big thing. You know, it's sort of like interrupting. It's very easy when someone, especially when a prospect, someone you want to do business with, and they're not quite getting it, and they're saying something, and you know they're wrong, and you know what they're going to say, and you want to interrupt. I used to have that horrible habit. I consider it a disease. I from the ancient Greek interruptius maximus obnoxious, and people hate it when we do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was something I had to work on. Mm. And once I did, it made a huge difference. But again, it just shows you're listening. When we interrupt, it doesn't seem as though we're listening to understand.
Yep. I remember reading something recently, and I've got one more question, then we'll wrap it up. I know you've got a jet. But I remember reading recently about a list of people who have been very influential over the years. And one of the guys that popped up on the list was Bill Clinton. And they were talking about, of course, and not even talking about political things at all. We're just talking about the influence of the person. And they were talking about the traits that these people had that made them influential. And one of those traits was that people would say over and over again that when you talked to Bill Clinton, it seemed like you were the only person in the room. Like he was listening. He was intent. He wasn't looking over your shoulder or through you or waiting to move on to the next person. When he was there in front of you, he was in front of you and he was fully immersed in what you were saying. And the second that I read that, I'm like, man, that's not what I'm doing. And so I've been more conscious of it. Still working on it big time, like you said, but that's a biggie. And I don't want people to overlook that because some people might look at this and go, well, that's an obvious thing. Well, it is and it isn't. We're not doing it. And we oftentimes discount the value of that in our lives. So the last question I want to toss at you is I guess an obvious one, but, is there anywhere that people can go buy the book other than Amazon that you want to drive them to Amazon, or is there another site that we can drive them to?
My suggestion is if they'll come to thegogiver.com, mm-hmm. without the hyphen, thegogiver.com, cool. If they'll click on the cover, and it's a purple cover, mm-hmm. for the new one, the Go Giver Influencer, although yep. they can do the other ones as well.
Yep.
It will take them to a page where they can get 2 free chapters so they can read that and see if they like it first.
Sweet.
And then if they do, we give them a few other. They can go to Amazon. They can click to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and mm-hmm. some of the other ones. But Amazon is where we usually would suggest people go to from our site.
Cool. So go to thegogiver.com. Y'all go to thegogiver.com. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give away 10 books of the Go Giver Influencer. And what you guys are going to have to do is this. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, wherever you guys listen to the podcast, and give a rating and review on this episode. Let us know what you've taken away from Bob or any of his books in the past. It could be from this interview or just of value from things that him or John have put out there in the past. Give us a rating review on this episode and how Bob and the Go Giver mindset has really fed into your life. And the first 10 to do that after we publish this, send us an email with a screenshot of the review you did. And the email is trevor@oncarrot.com, trevor@oncarrot.com. First 10 will mail out, not this book, but the Go Giver Influencer. So we want to get that in your guys' hands. And that way, hopefully, you can really lead in your business, lead in your life with influence, but the right way. Not influence for the sake of manipulation, like Bob mentioned. Influence for the sake of really putting your gift out there to the world so you can help make greater change. Bob, is there any other kind of parting words that you have around the Go Giver Influencer mindset you're just aching to get out to people before we wrap?
Yeah, I think it's important that we communicate to people with tact, but the tact should never be confused with compromise. We can always speak to people with tact and with respect without compromising our values. And I think that's so important.
And that's so, so important in today's day and age, like you said, where especially in the Facebook world where everyone's got to sell their side of the political story or their side of this, and they think they're going to be talking people into something. Coming at it with tact, like you said, doesn't mean you've got to then adopt the other person's mindset, right. But you're trying to influence them in good ways. So, Bob, I so appreciate all the work that you've done over the years. If there's any way that we here at Carrot can help support you, we would love to. At the very least, we're going to send a bunch of people your way, and we're going to continue to spread the Go Giver message because it's meant so much in my life. And I just appreciate you and keep doing the work you're doing. It is very important. And I know how when you're in the work that you're doing, sometimes it's hard to see the impact you're making, but you're making the impact to millions of people, man. So I appreciate you.
Well, the Trevor stories are the ones that make it worthwhile for me. And I appreciate what you're doing and the value you're bringing to others. And I thank you for that. So, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. And everyone have an amazing rest of the week. Go to thegogiver.com, grab the free chapters and grab the book. First 10 to go to iTunes and leave a rating review on this episode. Screenshot it, send it to trevor@oncarrot.com. We'll get the book mailed out to you. Have an amazing week.
I'm going to ask you right now, if you have not ever read The Go Giver, you need to go buy that book now. And I really think that that is one of the fundamental books that every high schooler, every college age person should read. And if you've never read it, whatever age you are now, just read it. And it's something that, like I said, a lot of us already think we know, but it's such a good reminder looking at this parable, watching the parable, that oftentimes when we're out there going after whatever we're going after, our goals, our ambitions, growing the business, closing that next deal, whatever it is, we oftentimes look at how do we get ours before we look at getting the other person's there for them. And this book definitely changed my life. I refer to it often, and I want you to go get that book. Now, if you've already read the book and you're ready to advance on, go to thegogiver.com, like Bob mentioned, and grab a copy of The Go Giver Influencer. Or if you want one of our 10 free copies, we're giving 10 free copies away in this episode, go to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to this, and then give a rating and review. If you're one of the first 10 who does that and then sends me an email, trevor@oncarrot.com, with a screenshot of your rating review of the Carrot Cast of this episode, then we're going to ship you out a copy of The Go Giver. Just include your address in that, and that my assistant Jen will get it out to you. I so love you guys. We are nearing our 100th episode of the Carrot Cast here. We're only a few episodes away. So we're going to be turning a new leaf come episode 101. And we really want to be adding some new elements to the Carrot Cast. We're going to be adding some new people to the Carrot Cast. We're working up some cool things behind the scenes with the Carrot Cast to bring more value for you. But also, we're 100 in, so we got to switch it up a little bit. And we're also going to celebrate in a big way. We thank you guys, the thousands of people that are downloading Carrot Cast episodes each and every month. We thank you guys for that devotion. We thank you guys for that commitment on what you're doing to grow yourselves, to better yourselves, to wrap your thinking, to wrap your mind in things that help you be more positive, that help you look at greater possibility, and help you amplify those to others around you.